Morning. My name is Angela Sherwin, and I am currently a policy analyst at the Massachusetts Health Connector. However, at the time of this project, I was working as a policy analyst for the Health Insurance Commissioner for the state of Rhode Island. So today, I will be discussing how Rhode Island has used health insurance regulation to improve healthcare cost containment and health systems improvement. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. The purpose of this presentation is first to describe the process by which healthcare cost containment strategies were identified and prioritized for Rhode Island, and second, to identify key lessons learned from using an iterative, deliberative, and inclusive process to develop standards of affordability. So a bit of background. In 2004, Rhode Island passed the Health Care Reform Act, which increased regulation of health insurers without addressing increased coverage or containing health care costs specifically. This legislation created the Office of the Health Insurance Commissioner, and with the creation of the office, also added additional regulatory criteria for health insurers. So previously, health insurers were regulated based on actuarial soundness, financial solvency, and consumer protections. Now, insurers are also regulated based on whether they treat healthcare providers fairly, as well as whether they implement policies that direct the overall system affordability, quality, and access to care. So these new standards of affordability, quality, and access, as well as increased fairness to fair treatment of providers, are implemented via a premium rate review. So in the rate review, all commercial insurers submit their proposed premium rate increases to the Health Insurance Commissioner, who then reviews them for their medical cost increases, their administrative cost increases, and their profit margin increases. And the relationship of those increases to both the fair treatment of providers as well as whether they're contributing to the overall system affordability, quality, and access. However, the legislature did not specify exactly how to implement these regulatory criteria in applying them to the rate review. So in 2008, we, as the Office of the Health Insurance Commissioner, set out to define specific standards for system affordability that insurers would be rated upon. So to do this, we took 9 months and went through an extensive process that included an idea generation phase, then prioritizing those ideas, and finally developing standards for the strategies of cost containment that fell to the top. So for each of the three phases, we conducted a literature review of potential cost containment strategies. We held focus groups with medical directors and financial representatives from each of the commercial insurers in the state. We held monthly public meetings with an advisory board comprised of key stakeholders, including hospitals, healthcare providers, and local employer groups. At each meeting, we presented information from the literature review, from insurer focus groups, and from consultations with experts to the advisory board, who would then discuss the options on the table and provide recommendations to the insurance commissioner for how to proceed. So at the beginning, we identified 24 potential cost containment strategies across many broad areas for consideration. Strategies considered included increasing access to primary care, such as expanding the medical home model, or improving the quality of post-hospital care, reducing inappropriate emergency care utilization, investing in health information technology, such as expanding the use of electronic medical records and e-prescribing, reforming hospital payment mechanisms, increasing transparency both in healthcare provider reimbursement rates as well as in health plan product benefit design, and broad comprehensive reform initiatives, such as administrative simplification, evidence-based coverage, and global payment systems. In the prioritization phase, We then narrowed the 24 strategies originally considered to 9 and grouped those 9 into a delivery system focus, a consumer focus, and an infrastructure focus. To narrow the potential cost containment strategies from 24 to 9, we considered the overall feasibility and value of each strategy. These considerations include whether or not the strategy was within the health plan to control, what kind of resources would be required to implement the strategy, whether the insurance commissioner had the appropriate legal authority to oversee and implement the strategy, whether the strategy could be enforced via the rate review process, whether there was adequate political support for the strategy, and how much the strategy aligned with current health plan initiatives for affordability already within the insurer. In terms of value, we looked for evidence of growing cost, as well as whether there was any effective intervention that existed to curtail costs and what the overall cost savings potential was. And then within the 24 strategies, we looked for the relative value between them. So each grouping of the 9 that rose to the top, contained strategies that both had short-term and long-term cost savings potential for Rhode Island. The delivery system grouping encouraged health plans to realign incentives for healthcare delivery in Rhode Island, which included increasing the overall primary care spending for the insurer, expanding the medical home model, and ultimately fundamentally reforming the way payments were made. The consumer grouping included strategies that health plans could implement to change consumer behavior and reduce the use of unnecessary services through education and benefit design, such as implementing wellness performance standards, reducing emergency visits that were unnecessary, and ultimately implementing an evidence-based coverage system. And strategies within the infrastructure system included standardizing electronic medical record adoption, as well as e-prescribing incentives to ultimately establish a regional health information exchange. So after much deliberation and dialogue with the advisory board, they ultimately recommended establishing affordability standards for the delivery system focus and adding standardized electronic medical record incentives to the standards. Given these priorities, the Office of the Health Insurance Commissioner developed the following affordability standards. First, insurers must collectively increase their percent of medical expenditures spent on primary care by 1 percentage point per year for the next 5 years. So this will increase their overall primary care spend from 5.9% in 2009 to 10.9% in 2014. However, they must make this increase without increasing their baseline spending. So it's just shifting resources from one space to another. Second, they must expand their already existing all-payer medical home from 5 primary care sites currently implemented to 25 in the first year. Third, insurers must standardize and expand incentives for providers to adopt electronic medical records, as well as increase reimbursement for providers with electronic medical records by at least 3% to support the cost of implementation and ongoing maintenance. And finally, insurers must participate in a state-facilitated process to explore, assess, and recommend healthcare service payment reform options. Insurer spending both on the medical home standard and on the electronic medical record standard will count towards the primary care spending if the medical homes and electronic medical records are spent within a primary care site. So finally, we learned 3 important lessons from this process. First, in the involvement of both insurers and the advisory board early and often was essential. It allowed the Health Insurance Commissioner's Office to identify a breadth of strategies for consideration, maximizing the potential for innovative and effective approaches that were also practical and feasible for insurers to implement. Their involvement also enhanced the overall legitimacy and transparency of the process. Second, we set realistic objectives and clearly articulated a plan for how the advisory board should achieve them. The Office of the Health Insurance Commissioner provided substantial background to the advisory board throughout the process to both contextualize the strategies considered as well as identify decision-making points throughout the process. And finally, we engaged participants in a substantive policy deliberation, not just consultation. And each meeting of the advisory board featured extensive deliberation on the merits of each strategy considered, their overall applicability to Rhode Island and to commercial insurers, and the relative value of each strategy was considered within the context of the 24. This iterative deliberative engagement is distinctly different from the way that health insurance regulation would normally be developed by public officials released for public comment only after completion. So, finally, Rhode Island was able to do this because of the unique statute, the unique healthcare reform legislation that was passed, and the standards of affordability were developed with a very unique participatory process. So those are two key issues to consider should your state be interested in implementing health insurance regulation for cost containment. For more information, you can visit the Health Insurance Commissioner's website, and that's my contact info. Any questions?
We have time for a couple questions.
Yes.
Angela, when you look at, or when the commission looked at issues of affordability, mm-hmm. did you consider looking at affordability in terms of out-of-pocket expenditures by family members?
So the short answer is yes, but down the line. So the affordability and the ability for the insurance commissioner to regulate is specific to commercial insurers. So the idea was to find a way that the commercial insurers could affect the overall system that would then trickle down to individuals. So not as specific as saying putting a cap on out-of-pocket maximums, for example. Yes?
So I was also curious about this issue. Did you set a standard of affordability? And was the standard set for what would be affordable for consumers of healthcare or for Rhode Island?
So the standard as we defined it was to decrease the overall rate of premium increases and broken down by, and we were focusing on medical cost increases specifically. So we didn't set a standard of affordability that would say the following people within an FPL would be able to afford X, but rather than insurance premiums increasing by 17% this year, we would like to see them increase by 7% next year. No, we did not consider the overall actuarial value of the plan. Yes.
I assume you had providers at the table as a stakeholder. And I'm
yes, we did.
If they thought the EMR subsidies were enough for them to get those up and
running. So actually, the way the EMR subsidy issue was in Rhode Island, a fundamental point to this is that Rhode Island only has two major commercial insurers, a third that entered the market at the beginning of 2009. So one of the commercial insurers offered very generous electronic medical record incentives for both adoption and maintenance. The other did not. And so it was not worth it for providers to invest with only one insurer helping. So the goal of the standard was ultimately to bring parity to both insurers in implementing. And my sense from the providers at the table was that if there was parity between insurers for incentives, then it would indeed be worth it to invest.
Okay. Thank you very much.